Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, welcome again to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're taking a look back at the top news stories in October in real estate in our news recap episode. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Now, once again, here's our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host, Robert Howe. And as always, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyear Buyer, Norway, to Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing, and we are bringing you our monthly real estate recap. And Jason, of course, has scoured the internet for articles of interest and advice, and once again has done a wonderful job in picking out the the best articles of the month. Let's just show what's going on in New York City real estate. And I'm just wondering what tonight's general topic should be, Jason. Should it be hot, or prices still going up, good for some, not good for others? A lot of interesting thing you've discovered for this month.
Yeah, I think if we had to pick a underlying theme, it would be maybe resurgence or – maybe a comeback at least in the short term from the COVID exodus and the pandemic exodus for a lot of places across the country, including New York City. But we've seen that, at least in these stories, for the most part, Manhattan's slight or temporary downturn it has not been the case for Brooklyn. I know we've dealt with this a couple of episodes with some of our guests about, what's coming back and what's returning, businesses, real estate, and the market outlook, and where it's been, where it's going. It just seems like no matter when we do these shows, if it's once a month or if we're on a hiatus and then we come back 2 years later, it seems like the news stories are always new record pricing, Brooklyn's on the rise, Brooklyn is, you know, and I mean, are you seeing some of the things that, and we'll get into the first story from New York One, but are you seeing some of the things that these stories are reporting on? Is there a correlation between what they're saying and what you're seeing dealing with this in the real world?
There is a definite relation, and you do see it. Brooklyn neighborhoods, the Williamsburgs, the Bushwicks, the Brooklyn Heights, all bustling. Doesn't sound like there's an apartment to be had in all of Brooklyn for less than $2,000+. And, yes, you see shops popping up again. And, maybe not everybody left Brooklyn. You know, it is one of our articles that we'll touch on, you know, talked about a reason for that. And, but it is definitely discernible that things are back. And the times I do travel into Manhattan, a very stark difference, still empty streets, not a lot of car traffic, office buildings still probably less than 50% occupied. Some will never be, some spaces may never be reoccupied. And those are issues that Manhattan's going to have to deal with that Brooklyn really doesn't have to deal with. Brooklyn is a community, and yet in one of the articles, you know, we'll touch on, talks about how people are starting businesses within Brooklyn, so they're not going to reach the level of 100-story towers. But you'll find some low-rise commercial buildings where business is going on, and industrial areas that have been repurposed, and warehouses that are humming again, doing maybe not the original type business, that definitely doing business for the needs of the local population.
And there's a little irony in that sense that in Manhattan, you talk about areas that were maybe very, very high-end commercial districts where they've seen some of their big box brands leave or close up or look for a smaller footprint and move out of maybe Manhattan, places that you would think, you know, were unheard of to not be represented in Manhattan, now may eventually become a residential space. They may have spaces that were commercial spaces for decades and in real commercial areas have to maybe repurpose themselves for residents in Manhattan, whereas in Brooklyn, which was always fell back on the appeal of its neighborhood feel next to the biggest city on earth, having businesses move to Brooklyn. And we talked about this years ago, where Brooklyn was trying to attract the tech companies, and then we had startups opening in Brooklyn, and they were repurposing the Navy Yards and areas that were warehouses to entice bigger companies, and some of them did come to Brooklyn and set up shop. And then you have all the smaller small businesses and startup companies that popped up in Brooklyn. So you have this real shift that years ago would have been unheard of, that the Fifth Avenue, the Madison Avenues, and Lexington Avenues would see their stores shut down and maybe never reopen. And then in Brooklyn, you saw those residential areas or maybe those industrial areas start opening up to being business friendly. And it's a real stark change, in my opinion, from what, you grew up on, what I grew up on, and you know what we thought was the norm for the normal pecking order in New York, and we didn't think who would think it would ever have changed.
And I think post COVID, if there is such a word as post COVID, you know, all the good things that were happening in Brooklyn are accelerating. That happened before COVID. Mm-hmm. Now are accelerating at even a faster pace,
mm-hmm.
almost like a spring, letting loose.
Yeah, almost, it seems like Brooklyn was one of the places that was built or was being conditioned over, you know, a period of time to be the ideal location to kind of weather an episode like a COVID, where you had kind of a lot of things that were already in place in Brooklyn that allowed for, you know, it to kind of, I don't want to say flourish, but maybe, you know, come out ahead or come out, like you said, before COVID, these things were already kind of, you know, on the upswing. During COVID, they were other areas where, you know, were not able to sustain. Brooklyn was able to do that, and now coming out the other side, we see it's even further strengthened.
So you found a couple articles. Let's talk about the first one dug up.
And I think there's a real theme to all of them. They're all probably more connected than a lot of our news recaps are, but first story comes from New York One, and the headline is High Manhattan Rents Leading to a More Competition in Queens and Brooklyn. And the catch here is that there was a listing in a desirable area for an apartment, one-bedroom apartment, and it went through the roof. There was a viral video that showed the line around the block, and, you know, there's a lot of statistics here that get thrown out. We can dig into them a little bit. But my question here was, does the increase in rents, and it seems like rent has soared, is that hurting, or is that a reflection of a downturn in home sales or apartment sales or purchases? Is that the reason why the rent is skyrocketing? And then what point do we see it almost going back if the rent is getting so high that you're like, hey, if I'm paying this much rent, I can buy?
Right. Well, there is a formula that you could use. But I don't know too many people who use it, that would trigger the point where it's more financially reasonable to rent than to own. And that could be, although home prices have been pretty high for steadily high. I haven't seen them zooming recently, so I don't know if that's the cause of the high rental. But maybe it's just people coming back to the city and finding that there's just no place to settle really quickly other than a rental. And, you know, that's driving up the prices. During the pandemic, you did hear rental market was soft. Of course, nobody knew whether they had a job, whether they're going to survive. Nobody really knew anything except get me to the country. And so I think it got soft during that period. But people are coming back because they realize that all that they want is within a mile of their house, and they don't have to, unlike driving to the country, we have to drive several miles to get somewhere in the city. Chances are it's right downstairs or right around the corner or down the block a bit. So I think people have come back a bit, and landlords are taking advantage of that demand to whatever they may have lost during the pandemic.
And it was interesting to know about this.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Uh, The only thing I don't know about is the competition in Queens. You know, Queens is a pretty big borough. But when it comes to Queens, I think you're really talking about, you know, Long Island City, the area that, that borders the East River. And then once you get inside, I think it's more, I think it's a little quieter type of real estate market in there. Brooklyn definitely is hot, hot, hot. It was hot and getting hotter, and there's that boomerang effect coming out of the, out of COVID. But I'm not so sure that Queens, you know, you really never hear anything about Queens in terms of, you know, hot real estate either for sales or for rentals. So that was my only comment. Brooklyn,
I've only heard in terms of, in terms of Queens, I only ever hear in regard to, well, you know, like you said, Long Island City and Astoria, which, you know, have their benefit because of the proximity. You could hop in and be in the city in 20, 30 minutes. But I feel like those crop up when you are talking about, well, we need a maybe a cheaper alternative to Brooklyn. And maybe they're looking at that as, well, you know, what if we can't, you know, get into Brooklyn or we can't afford Brooklyn, it might as well be in Queens. And it's not to disparage Queens, it's just that I think in terms of, you know, what most people are looking for in terms of like their ideal location and setting, I think Brooklyn's got more of that and more of those areas and pockets of neighborhoods and that have more versatility than in Queens. But the interesting thing about this, one of the interesting things about the story is that it talks about the video that went viral, and it had north of 600,000 views just for the line to see this one-bedroom apartment for rent. And it wound up, the apartment wound up going for $1,000 a month more than what the rent was being asked for. So, and then you've got some just statistics, like there was a 32% increase in searches for listings in the area. And I think, you know, like we said, you know, when it's almost like a domino effect. You see the rent skyrocketing in Manhattan or the prices skyrocketing in Manhattan. Well, what are people going to do? They're either going to have to swallow hard and pay, meet that price, or say, hey, you know what? I can pay less, get maybe more, stretch my dollar, make my dollar go further. In Brooklyn, I can be just as close to where I need to be or where I want to be in terms of, and then for a good amount of time, everything was closed and shut down, so you didn't need to be in Manhattan. So what was the point of paying that premium to be there? So that's what I found, what jumped out at me about this article in the we talk about prices and we talk about, you know, sales prices, new records and everything going up. And we never really touch on the fact that, you know, the rent is kind of going up along with that. And you know, you mentioned the formula, and I wonder, that used to be the thing that you used to use as your barometer was, hey, I'm paying such and such for rent. I said, that's a mortgage payment. So really it was your justification for buying and your argument against renting. Now it seems like, you know, the home prices have gone up to such a point that doesn't exist anymore, where you can make that case that I'm paying almost the same amount as if I were to own.
Right. I think you have also touched on a few other articles that are linked to this. Why don't we discuss some of those articles?
Yes. The next story we're going to talk about is, let me see here. What was my, oh, the,
think you had Brooklyn as leading New York into a new era on the floor from the Forbes magazine.
Yes, this is another one that this kind of, again, it kind of echoes a lot of what we have been talking about, a lot of what we have been saying even before COVID, is that Brooklyn was kind of, you know, carrying the torch and carrying the flag for New York, and as it has its own brand. We've touched on that numerous times about Brooklyn's brand, but they actually refer to Brooklyn in this one as New York's Miami, New York City's of Miami. And we'll get into it in another article where we're seeing how, yes, we've always said, you know, Brooklyn is hot, but now it's becoming even more. It's not only hot, it's trendy. It's where the glitterati kind of now are shifting to, from maybe L.A., now it's Brooklyn. It's funny to consider that all these years we thought of Hollywood as the glitzy, the glamorous, and now that is kind of living in Brooklyn. It may be in a bit more fitting sense for Brooklyn. It's maybe a little bit more grittier, a little bit more, you know, almost like an edge to it. But that seems to be, this is Forbes article, talks about, you know, Brooklyn really kind of almost, I won't say saving New York, but really bringing New York back quicker because of Brooklyn being there.
And it's interesting, the article does mention, you know, we did have shows years earlier about how Williamsburg was coming up and how other neighborhoods were coming up, Bushwick's. But now they're talking about, you know, these neighborhoods that we talked about coming up. They're saying they're becoming similar to a Manhattan neighborhood, in other words, or another trendy neighborhood. Like we'd say, oh, Williamsburg is coming up, but now this article is saying not only has it come up, but it's becoming the Soho of Brooklyn. Bushwick not only has come up, but now is getting a similar, similar to a Williamsburg. So not only have the neighborhoods come up, they're morphing into yet higher level communities that, it's a funny, I had never seen that before, but a neighborhood coming up and then becoming yet another neighborhood even better. So that's all positive stuff.
Yeah, it almost makes you think of like a sports team where, you know, the starter goes down and the bench player and the next man up philosophy, like, you know, okay, now who's going to come up and take the place? You know, maybe somebody goes on to greater fame and fortune, and we've groomed this other replacement to step in. It's like those neighborhoods, like you said, now they're on the level of Manhattan. Now we've got our JV neighborhoods moving up to the varsity level. And one other thing of note it does touch on is the population. That Brooklyn's population is back to the 1950s all-time high, over almost 3 million, 2.7 million people. And that in the past decade has grown over 9%. So I don't know how surprising that is, because we've always touched on how, you know, Brooklyn was so desirable and so many people coming and living here and moving here. And, you know, you never heard really of anyone leaving Brooklyn. But it's another interesting thing to point out, that the population hasn't been as high in Brooklyn in 70 years or 60, you know, 60 or 70 years.
Yeah, that is, well, of course, I was about 3 years old in the 50s, so I don't remember much about that, but it is surprising that they had more people in the 50s than up until recently, but, wow, that is a crazy statistic. They also, what also caught me is that a lot of Brooklynites are working in Brooklyn. and private employment is staying in Brooklyn. They're not jumping on a train to go to Manhattan. So it's, you know, and I think we've touched upon that in earlier shows where, you know, residents can ride their bike to their job. And I guess that's a pretty nice thing to be able to do, or stay close to your home and still, you know, do your work without having to travel over a river or on a train or in a car over a bridge or a tunnel to get to your place of employment. So that's a pretty interesting point.
Yeah, and like we have said, you know, the Brooklyn's appeal not only now was where you live, that's where you work too. So now, you know, you kind of got the best of both worlds. You're able to have more flexibility, maybe work in a more desirable location in terms of quality of life. You know, in terms of New York, you know, everybody is kind of, you know, elbow to elbow, but if you can choose to work in a great neighborhood and area in Brooklyn versus in Manhattan and not have to schlep into Manhattan, I'm sure most people would choose, hey, I'd rather work in Brooklyn where I also live. Because one of the things I remember about working in Manhattan was that if you went to a happy hour or if you worked late and you tried to get a cab and you said, I'm going to Brooklyn, they just zoom off. Nobody wants to drive to Brooklyn.
Right. I remember those days. Yes, you're right. Yes.
So,
and, you know, the article also mentions the whole thing about community and how important Brooklyn has. You know, Brooklyn has a community. And maybe people are looking for that. You know, maybe they, along with just a nice place to live, they want to know that they can go out and know their neighbors and know the shopkeepers, and have their kids go to local schools and recreate locally. So, you know, that is a pretty big draw to being outside of Manhattan.
And our next story comes from New York Times. And I mean, it really, you really only need the headline in this story because, you know, we've kind of touched on this off and on, and it's not something that I think will come as a great surprise to a lot of people, although, and we did mention a little bit earlier, about New York, Brooklyn becoming a place for maybe more glitz and glamour, celebrities, you know, Hollywood feel east. So it's like Hollywood, you know, we spoke about, I think when someone, we might have mentioned this, Chuck Schumer's niece, Amy Schumer, a comedian, bought the Moonstruck House on Cranberry Street, moved it from Manhattan, sold in Manhattan and bought in Brooklyn. This article details a number of Hollywood celebrities, A-list, big-name celebrities who are making Brooklyn home and some of the prices that they're paying to do that.
They are paying hefty prices down there, and it is becoming a celebrity-ridden area. It's going to be interesting to see how they take to, you know, the reconfiguring of the BQE when they start doing the work along the highway. But for right now, it's a place where all the celebrities want to be, and, you know, celebrities want to be where other celebrities are. Go figure. And
one of the things that's really, really funny about it is what it mentions, it rattles off and name drops. It's almost like this was put out by Brooklyn had their own press agent, you know, the sweet smell of success, City Falcos, who were putting out press for their client, and this was done to kind of get some good publicity, a good buzz for Brooklyn, and name dropping all these celebrities. Matt Damon lives here, his neighbor is John Krasinski, and his wife Emily Blunt. They're both, you know, Hollywood elites, and oh yeah, down the street is Paul Rudd, and he's with his family on his porch. It makes it sound like these celebrities all live in their own little Hollywood set or stage of a neighborhood. But in reality, it's Brooklyn. Brooklyn, it's probably ready for its close-up. You could probably shoot any number of areas in Brooklyn to convey that neighborhood, that old-style, traditional neighborhood feel. And now that's what these folks are buying.
You know, the interesting thing is Brooklyn Heights really has never changed as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the same way that I've known for the last, 40 or 50 years. But you get a few celebrities, you get a few hot restaurants, and, it used to be sort of a stodgy place. That's the word they use in the article.
Yeah.
And they were all Wall Street types and who lived there and had really just wanted to be a very quiet place. But one celebrity brings another, and the next thing there's a fancy restaurant, and then this article comes out where it's rivaling the West Village, where, that prior article said there were lines around the block to rent, properties. So, interesting how Brooklyn Heights kind of woke up and blew up.
Yeah, and became and got discovered. And like you said, it must be nice that if you really want to be close to a restaurant you like or one that's trendy and popular, and that you could just plunk down $6 million and buy a townhouse right nearby. But the final article that we're going to talk about, and this one's a little bit different. This one speaks to, it's from Mansion Global, and this one deals with luxury real estate. And luxury real estate has always been a different animal, and it's certainly so in New York and Brooklyn. We've talked about before about these incredible apartments or incredible locations that were steeped in local legend that went for incredible amounts of money or asking prices. This article does say that there may be a little bit of a leveling off in luxury real estate, or that the prices are not continuing to climb. What are your thoughts on luxury real estate in Brooklyn?
I haven't been around a lot of them, to be honest, but, I do have to chuckle a little bit because, look, if you're a gazillionaire and you got gobs of money and you want something, you buy it. I don't think you really do a market analysis. Should I pay only $9 million for this or should I make it $10 million? But, I am not so sure there's a heck of a lot of luxury real estate that unless I'm, you have, where's luxury? I think the closest thing to luxury would have been at Brooklyn Heights, beautiful, 200-year-old buildings is one of the towers, that they're putting in downtown Brooklyn, those 50-story buildings. Is that considered luxury? I think it's considered expensive, but I don't know if it got to the luxury part. Other than some houses in Williamsburg or Brooklyn Heights, I'm at a loss to say where other, or the few times we, some.
Or Shore Road even.
Or on Shore Road, yeah, beautiful, expensive homes, but I don't know. I guess maybe I'm confusing luxury with celebrities. I'm back on that. Celebrities moving to Brooklyn Heights. I'm stuck on that.
I took it as this is referring to luxury for the regular folks. So like you said, if a celebrity wants something, they're not going to be doing a Google search to see what's the market look like. You know, let's see some stories. But in terms of like us as commoners, when we want to move on up and we want to say, hey, you know what, I might want to get into the luxury end of the pool, I guess those prices may be kind of leveling off. Or, I mean, a place where maybe a Matt Damon wouldn't be buying, but right above where we may be looking in terms of looking at the price tag in those places. And again, those neighborhoods have already long been. Like I said, Brooklyn Heights is not a new pricey neighborhood. You know, Park Slope, those neighborhoods have traditionally been very, very expensive. So a little bit of a, I don't want to say a cold bucket of water, but maybe to combat all this positivity, somebody said, let's go with a story that kind of pumps the brakes.
And, yeah, I guess, well, you know, look, unless you're super rich, you know, I guess there is a limit to what you can spend if you're just plain old rich. Sooner or later you say, oh, I only have $5 million. How can I spend half of it on a $2.5 million house? But, you know, to be honest, houses in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn are, you know, you could find modest houses, for $1.5 to $1.75,
yeah.
$1.8. So I don't know if anyone really considers that luxury. You know, people for one reason or another have that money, but I don't think they consider themselves wealthy or that they're buying a luxurious house. So who knows? But I think,
especially when you're talking
are,
about 1,200 square feet.
Right. It's still, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Luxury to me probably says waterfront or close to waterfront,
mm-hmm.
or really old neighborhoods or, you know, mansion type looking houses that, you know, we've done some shows on that celebrities buy up.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's what
yes,
I'm
this
thinking.
Is a bit of a glass of cold water on the hot, hot, hot. I guess. This will get a few more clicks when it says falling prices as cracks emerge, you know, so I'm going to click on that. I'm not going to click on the, I will click on the, you know, hot trends, but then I will click on cracks emerge. It's like, wow, what's going on? You know, my house is losing value.
Maybe these are the people that sold too soon and they're trying to, you know, sour grapes or the I told you so's. But it seems to be a little bit like splitting hairs, you know. Okay, so maybe that's kind of leveling off a little bit. But you know, when you look at the ascent that it was on, and you know, it's bound to happen where you're going to have a period of maybe a little bit of a cooling off, but in terms of overall, I don't think it really tells the big picture.
Right. This person really just wanted an alternative to hot Brooklyn real estate stories, most of which you found, and most of which we talked about tonight.
It seems like we always talk about it. So maybe it was a good change of pace for us to kind of keep us grounded. But
that it does.
We're at
does
the end of our
that,
recap.
Does that conclude our recap. Does that conclude our half hour or 40 minutes or so, Jason?
It does. We went a little bit over because I think we had so much hot Brooklyn to talk about. We only had a few minutes to talk about the cold section. But that does conclude our news recap. And again, the overall theme was Brooklyn is doing okay.
Brooklyn is doing okay. And thank you, Jason. And this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to our executive producer for finding all these very interesting articles about hot trends, or Brooklyn and its hot trends. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people, wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind